Welcome to Turkey Crossing, everyone. This is Paul Bogush, and thank you for stopping by to hang out with me while we talk about how to get our kids to solve problems, collaborate, create, innovate, dialogue, and get their imaginations cranking, all while using Classroom 2.0 tools and not forgetting that the most important thing in the world is not an online connection, but a teacher-student connection. So relax, close your eyes, unless you're driving, eating, or skydiving, and open your mind for another edition of Turkey Crossing. Good morning, everyone. This is Paul Bogush, and welcome to Turkey Crossing. Thanks for stopping by and listening in. Last night, we had parents' night at my school, and I have to start off by mentioning the fact that my father this year, finally after years and years and decades of talking about it, bought a season ticket package to the Cathedral of Baseball. That's right. Yankee Stadium. And it's the very lowest level season ticket package, you know, 8 games, all night games in the middle of the week. But I can honestly say now that I have a season ticket. Well, at least my dad's letting me use one of his too. And if you follow baseball, the Yankees are in the middle of an incredible pennant race with their arch enemies, the Boston Red Sox, and they're closing in on possibly winning the division series, and we purposely picked a game as late as we could in the fall, or I guess it's still officially summer, so that maybe we can hit a game in which it would be incredibly exciting because maybe they'll be taking over the Red Sox for the lead. And I was supposed to go to that game last night, but instead I had to come to parents' night. Now if you happen to be a parent who's listening to this, I'm not upset about that. What I ended up getting upset at is the way that parents' night is structured. You know, we get a half an hour to talk to the parents, and there's 4 teachers on our team, so you know, you can do the math, and we don't get very many minutes to actually speak, you know, each one of us. And so what we do end up talking about is just very simple things. You know, how much can you get through in 7 minutes or so? The math teacher might talk about, here's a calculator to buy for your kids. I talk about making sure that we all keep up on communication and, you know, use that email or phone or whatever it may be. You know, maybe one of the teachers might be able to stick in something about their curriculum. But, you know, that's essentially it. And I just think to myself, as a parent, holy smokes. Now, I might show up because, you know, it's the thing to do. I might show up because that's just what parents who are interested in their kids do. But there's no real questions. There's no real conversation. There's no real thought process about the kids' education and what we're doing and why and our vision, and it's frustrating. And I wonder, I don't know, I wish I could pry open the parents' minds and see what they're thinking when they're sitting in there. If they're thinking, ugh, I had to come home from work, I had to feed everyone supper quickly, I couldn't change for my work clothes. Well, maybe some people do, some people don't. Come in to listen about the 30 minutes of, you know, email me if you have a problem, buy this calculator, here's the rules of our study hall, and, you know, something else. I wish there was a way to make it more engaging. I wish there was more time to have a conversation and go somewhere deep. Is that asking for too much? Maybe this is just crazy. Maybe parents, that's all parents' night is supposed to be. Here's our homework policy. If your kid's going to be late from school, send them in with a note. And, you know, by the way, here's our textbook. I don't know, but I just wish there could be something more. I don't think the parents get a good glimpse into what exactly is going on with their kid. And I wonder if everyone has just kind of accepted this lack of power, maybe? I don't know the words. And I think I mentioned this in an earlier podcast. This is the very first year that my daughters are entering school, or have gone to school. We unschooled up until this September. My youngest daughter is 5, older daughter is 9. And my brain is just exploding with all of a sudden having to experience school through the lens of a parent. And one of the things that has just struck me right between the eyes is the total and complete lack of power and control that I have. When you send that kid off to school, it's like, whew, gone. And I don't know, is it me? Am I missing something? If your kid's going to school and you see an obvious problem, can you change it? Do you have any power? And so now, as I've experienced this through the eyes of a parent, I've been thinking, well, I can see some... as a teacher, obviously, I can always see these, you know, where we should be changing. Well, maybe that's not obvious, but through my eyes, I can see there's a lot of room for improvement in education. Not just improvement, but wholesale changes. Entire sections of this wonderful institution of public education need to be ripped down. Now, when I was just a teacher, and my kids were outside of the system, I really focused just on my classroom and how to do these wild and funky and great things just within my four walls, because I knew that, if a very traditional person, or if just a normal educator, I suppose, your every average day educator or superintendent was aware of what was going on, that maybe they wouldn't be happy with it. You know, it's not, it doesn't fit into the current mold. So I stayed within my four walls. And now that my daughter is in school, it's suddenly, and I don't know if anybody else can be show me some empathy, because unless your kid has never been in school, it's a hard thing to, I think, experience. Unless you've even thought about the possibility that your kid doesn't have to go to school. I don't know if you can share in what I'm going through. But all of a sudden my daughter goes to school and the walls of my classroom just dropped. I don't know if that's the best analogy. But all of a sudden now, all the stuff that I'm doing in the classroom, I feel like sharing with everybody and getting more and more people to do it. I almost inserted do it my way. That's the wrong way. It's not my way, but do it differently. Do it, you know, there's... I'll stop there. But when my walls fell down, my first target became my daughter's school. And by target, I mean just in my head and talking to my wife. And then I kind of shifted to, all right, well, how would I change things in my school, my district, my state? And in talking to people, teacher, talked to some parents of my kids. I even talked to an anonymous source who has some power in a school system. And what came back to me is that change is not possible. That's what I got out of all my conversations. That you can't implement change. And the reasons were varied. One of the big reasons right off the top, and one that I think I would experience and did experience to some extent, was that if you try to change something in your current child's classroom, or your current team in school, or your current school, even if it's grade level, subject level, whatever, that people look at that change as somewhat evil. You know, if you say, let's try this, somehow it tells people that, well, what we're doing is wrong. You're saying what we're doing is wrong. Nobody comes into this as saying, well, let me take a look at this, let me consider it. And too often, they just put up their walls and don't listen to what you have to say. And collecting my thoughts here. And what ends up happening is you could really create a lot of friction between you and your colleagues or you and your kids' classroom teacher. And I know we're all supposed to love kids and look at them, you know, the same way every single day they walk in the door. But, you know, you all know that the kid who has parents who is making your life difficult in any given year, it's hard to love that kid equally every single day. Now, yeah, you could be trying to improve the school, but if the teacher doesn't see it that way, if the teacher sees it as you're trying to take over control of the lesson plans and change their life, well then I don't know. I just don't know. I mean, all of a sudden, in the last month, I have felt the need to kind of bring my message forth. And, you know, I'm listening to all these podcasts and doing all this research, and I've been teaching in this funky method with this odd style for a while, and I want to share it with someone. And I believe that a lot of the techniques work, and I mean, all this 2.0 stuff that I'm doing is so cool, and what I've seen happen in the first month of school is incredible. And how the heck do you share this with a system? How do you, and I've read a lot over the summer about a lot of tech people who were talking about how do you do staff development for this sort of thing. And it's frustrating. There are certain things that seem so obvious. There are certain ways to treat a child that seem so obvious as the best way, and we don't do it. Don't know. Let me pose a question to you. Your kid comes home from school, and they are given a project that's going to take them 2 weeks to do, a whole bunch of time. You know it is a total waste of their time. You know that if the kid wasn't spending a half an hour, 45 minutes a night on this project, that they could be doing something that is more productive, that they can learn a lot more from, even if it was just sitting on the couch watching a television show. You know they're going to get nothing out of this project, no long-term effect on their old noggin. Do you let them do it? Do you offer up to the teacher to change it? And if this continues month after month, do you just sit by? Do you go in and meet with the teacher administration and say, here's why this is not going to help my kid learn, here's the problem with it? Do you go a step further and say, here's what you should be doing? You know, if you are an educator, do you say, here's some ideas for you? Do you set up a meeting with a teacher and say, you know what, if you just changed this project and tweaked it this way, that way, you know, whatever, you'd have a really incredible learning experience? Or do you just let your kid do this stuff night after night, knowing it's wasting his or her time, knowing it's not going to help them at all for anything they're going to do in this century? What do you do? What have you done? It's really starting. You know, my daughter listened to a clip of one of these podcasts, and she said, Daddy, it sounds like you're sleeping. And then I listen to some of these podcasts and I say, my God, well, maybe there's a problem with trying to record them at 5:30 in the morning in the dark on my way to school. And maybe I should carry around my little recorder, and the second these thoughts start popping in my head and I'm talking to people about them and I actually have some energy in my voice, I should record it. But this is something that in the last couple of days has really ticked me off. And it's not ticked me off because it's happening. What's ticked me off is because now I've become one of those parents who are just sitting back and letting it all happen without speaking up. And I don't know what to do about it. For one of the first times in my life, I have no idea what to do. I don't even have a wrong answer to the wrong thing to do. I have no answer. What I've decided on for the short term is that I'm going to sit back and know that my influence is the most important influence. Myself and my wife is the most important influence in my kid's life. And hopefully go from there. I'm going to hope that I can exert as much influence as possible in my student's life in a short 45-minute period. And hopefully that will trickle over to other parts in their life. But it's frustrating, and it's been an issue over the last few days that's really got me going. And I'm, for the first, at this point in my life, I am feeling a sense of powerlessness, sure, that's a word, right? Powerlessness that I've never quite experienced before. And also for the first time in my life, I'm actually thinking about how I can possibly influence others. And boy, sometimes I think when that sentence comes out of my mouth, I want it to stop, because, sorry about the barking dogs if you can hear those. You know, for the first time in my life, wanting to go out and influence somebody else, for some reason I feel a little cocky when I say that. I feel a little conceited that I'm ready to admit after 17 years that I might know something that could help somebody else out. But I don't know. We'll see where this all goes. So, if you have any ideas on how to create change, and I guess I'm obviously not looking for an idea on how to change the entire school system or the whole institution of schooling, because obviously that would have already been done by now if someone figured that out. But if you've made small scale change, if you've been able to influence your department, if you've been able to influence your team of teachers, how did you go about doing it? How did you start to turn them slowly? Yeah, and I think that's it. I'm afraid now to start giving personal experiences. I'd like to talk about some things specifically in my school, and things that have been happening to me, but I'll end this podcast with an interesting thought, at least to me. Over the last couple of weeks, I've actually had people that I know listen to the podcast. And, you know, for a few 4 months there, nobody I knew listened to this. And some people are stumbling upon it. And if you've listened to the beginning, you know the whole hee-haw thing. I had the secretary of my school give me a hee-haw. I had a kid give me a hee-haw. Another teacher give me a hee-haw. And so I think I'll stop bringing up personal experiences. I never know who's listening now, and I don't know if people are going to be upset that I'm using experiences from my school. So I don't know where to go with that, too, because obviously what I know best is what I'm experiencing on a day-to-day basis. But I'll figure that one out. All right. Hey, if you've made it this far, thank you for listening. Please leave a comment. I always love to hear what you're thinking and saying and doing, and constructive criticism is always appreciated. And if you've implemented any kind of change, let me know. I'd be interested in hearing how you went about doing it. Hey, this is Paul Bogish. This is Turkey Crossing. And thank you very much for spending time with me today. All right, bye-bye.